All right, everybody, welcome to the Home Service Pro Podcast. Today we have with us Paul, the owner of A Guy Heating and Air, a veteran-owned HVAC company out of Chicago. Paul, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dan. It's a pleasure being on your show here.
Yeah, most definitely. So I have to note, if you're just listening, you're not watching, Paul's got a huge rack of medals behind him. He's a triathlete. So we are chit-chatting a little bit about
whoa,
that.
Whoa,
this
whoa,
guy's
hold on, hold on. Yeah, in a past life, you know.
Yeah, past. Hey, either way, if you've done it, you've done it. So he's done more than just start a business. He's got all kinds of good things going on. So Paul, tell us a little bit about you. You know, how'd you get started? How'd you get into HVAC? And how'd you get to where you're at today?
Yeah, I don't think we've got enough time for that entire story, but you know, we'll try, right? So basically, I was in the military. I was in the Coast Guard. Came out, needed something to do, and I was like, you know what? I'm good with my hands. Let me get into the maintenance world. So wound up working for a few companies. Realized that it's not something I really wanted to do anymore, and decided to go to school. Hey, I got a GI Bill from the military. Why not use it? And as I started going to school, I realized that I really like HVAC, and that was the position that I really wanted to take and start a company, and off we went.
Yeah, for sure. So how long have you guys been in business?
So I started my company in 2017.
Okay.
So a little bit different than some other guys because I did remodeling, repair, and heating and cooling. I didn't have the clientele base. So I was like, you know, I got to get something going for us to get some money in. And finally 2020 hit. And I was like, you know, I've had enough of this. And we went strictly heating and air.
Yeah.
And then about a month ago, we actually rebranded, thanks to Kick Charge. You know, Dan Antonelli did a fantastic job. And so we're rocking the heating and air business, and our main focus is mini splits.
Yeah. That's a really interesting thing that what you're about that little story for people. There's a book called The Pumpkin Plan that kind of talks about people wanting to grow the world's. If you've never read it, I'm going to ruin it for you. They want to grow the world's largest pumpkin, which is in the example of your business, right? You want to grow a great business. Well, these guys have a great, you know, when these guys grow big pumpkins, they buy a seed, a really expensive seed, which is the idea for your business in the analogy. And when they do that, they don't try to grow, you know, like 15 big pumpkins. They keep cutting off the little ones that aren't that great, so that all the energy from the entire vine goes towards the world's largest pumpkin. And basically what you just explained to your business is that you've done that. You've gotten rid of these other little things that maybe weren't that great. You went all in with your rebrand and you're doing mini splits. So and HVAC, which is awesome. So you're living out the story of that book that was really impactful for me at one point in my business as well. We got rid of the handyman division of our company because it wasn't profitable and went all in. So that's awesome. So tell us what, if people don't know what a mini split is, explain that to us. What is that?
Yeah. So traditionally, most people are accustomed to window units, right? For their air conditioning needs. They're loud. They're not comfortable. You know, you're always constantly changing the TV volume when the thing kicks on. So they can get really annoying. But there's been this technology that's been around for quite some times. Asia, Europe, they've all been running off of it. And it's called a mini split. And the way it works is you've got a indoor unit and an outdoor unit. So you actually communicate with a electrical cable. You have some refrigerant lines and you can actually get both heating and cooling. So think of it as like a little mini furnace and AC for each bedroom or each room.
Okay. And if people also aren't aware, is what does the maintenance look like in that? Because I believe there's not a filter, but just there's like a screen that needs to be cleaned on that, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, we call it a filter. I mean,
sure.
It's not your traditional filter, right? But, you know, there is something in there. Maintenance every 2 weeks, you know, you're going to clean it. You're going to vacuum it. You're going to let it air dry if you were to use water on there. And then you just put it back in and you're good to go. The only downside is that after maybe a year or two, stuff does get past these screens because they're not the best. So there's a little maintenance where the contractor will come in and they will either clean the unit in place or take it apart and make sure that all the gunk that accumulates on there is rinsed off.
Okay. Awesome. So what are some problems that people like when you guys are like installing a mini split, like what are some of the problems that clients are coming to you with that is leading you to install that mini split?
Yeah, no. So there's two parts to that. So we've got usually the clients that are saying, hey, our rooms are too hot or they're too cold. And it's usually because of poor duct design or addition. So we've got this addition that was built. Hey, we're going to tap into the existing ductwork system. Contractors think that that's going to work. Hey, more air. But the problem is if that duct wasn't designed for that addition in place, it's never going to work. So we come in there. We do a load calculation. We measure out the room, the space, figure out what size unit they need, pop it in there, and we don't have to worry about the ducts anymore because the ducts were the problem. You know, And then we have the second part, which was customers that want to put in units in places that you normally don't get to utilize, right? So like basements and attics were never meant to be places that we lived in, but we've turned them into, you know, our niches, our caves, or so forth. Now we've seen a lot of garages, you know, so a lot of people are actually attacking their garages and like, hey, I got this utilizing, you know, this space that we can utilize. And so now they're thinking about heating. Well, why not heat and cool? So, you know, so that's where we're going with this.
Yeah, awesome. And you like name brand wise, what have you guys found? What's working well for you? What's, you know, what are you guys going towards?
Yeah, so we're a elite Mitsubishi dealer, and that's the product that we really stand behind. If you go ahead and you start looking up mini splits, guess what's going to come up? Mitsubishi, right? So we're going to stick with a product that works really well with us, has a great warranty, good customer service, parts, all that sort of thing. So which makes our lives easier in case there is an issue. Not that there really ever is, but you never know.
Awesome. Yeah. So, Paul, one thing that I see a lot of entrepreneurs in the home service industry struggle with is like, when do you rebrand? You know, what does a cost look like? Things like that. And you guys just went through this. Walk us through this the steps. Like what so, 'cause your brand, you know, since 2017, so you guys are 7, 8 years old here. What led you to do that rebrand, and why did you guys go, you know, with Dan there? You know, what was the steps on there? What was the thought process that you went through?
Yeah, no, I got you. So when I started my company, it was, I don't know what I'm doing, right? Just like a lot of people, you can do the manual labor side of things, but you don't know necessarily how to run a business. And so for the first few years, it was just figuring out, hey, what's my pricing supposed to be? Am I making money? Trying the little nuances, right, to make sure that everything is there. And I did have an older truck, and it was just like, you know what? This thing's constantly breaking down. It's costing me money because I don't have the availability to use my truck when it's broken down. So I'm like, I need a secondary van, right? A newer one. And so when I did that, purchased a new van, and I'm like, all right, I need to get it wrapped. So I started calling some companies around. Hey, what's this going to cost? And of course, through social media, doing my research, Kickcharge is always the one that keeps coming up. And it's like, all right, you know, if Tommy Mello uses it, well, then you got to use it, you know, because Tommy is the guy, right? And so we went ahead and we called up Kickcharge, and I almost, you know, fell to the ground when they gave me the price. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is just utterly insane, you know, the amount of money they want. But I started calling around, had one company that really gave us pricing, and they weren't too far off from what Dan was doing. I'm like, you know what? Let me go back to Dan and see what he is. I mean, he's the front runner, right? And it was almost a year in the making to get the whole rebrand started, but we wound up launching our new company. We went from a guy home services to a guy heating and air, and that was about a month ago. So the whole process was phenomenal from start to finish. It is a little long, but it's completely well worth it. We've done a couple of shows, and it's funny because we did a show literally this weekend, and lady came by, saw our truck, and she's like, hey, you know what? I've seen you guys driving around. We've had this thing out on the road for like 3 weeks, and we only have one truck that's wrapped, and it's just like it's already making an impression.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a great testament, you know, just to what it takes, you know, if you're wanting to grow in scale. I think going from that, hey, we're you know, like you mentioned in the beginning, like we're trying to figure all our stuff out. How do we do this? How do we become the Tommy Mello of HVAC? You know, like how do you get there? And it does take an investment of certain kinds, but you know, how awesome for you that hey, you're getting clients just by driving around a essentially a billboard down the road, which is great. And yeah, it's extremely important. I think a lot of people don't realize how they're like, well, whatever, it is what it is. And it's like, well, if you want your business to grow, like your branding is like, are you going to be remembered or not? Is someone going to call you and say, I've seen you driving down the road? So congratulations to that. Paul, you've grown. You have a team working with you right now. You guys are going through some, I would say, like elite or like mature level things in a business, right? You're doing these rebranded things. You're investing money into it. What's your like? How have you gotten to, you know, what would it take to go from if someone's listening to this and they're a one man show doing, you know, HVAC out of their truck, what did it take to you to go from there to where you're at right now?
Yeah, no, that's a interesting question. You bring up a good point. While I was going through the rebrand process, there was one of the questions that I got asked from Kickcharge on the questionnaire, the intake form, and it was, if you were to go into a grocery store and you asked how many people in there knew of your brand, I was just like, I was flabbergasted, you know, when I thought about that. I'm like, how many people actually know who a guy home services is? I mean, unless my wife and kid are in there, like nobody, right? And so that was just like, all right, you know what? I need to focus on the brand. I need to get that out. And that's been our big main drive, right? Get our name out there just to, you know, really tackle our little niche community, and we can expand from there. So for the one man show, you know, it's actually more economical, believe it or not, to rebrand and do all that, because you only have the one truck, the one image, and right. So, but think of it, if you had 5, 10 trucks, now all of a sudden that starts to add up. I mean, how much does it cost to rewrap every single vehicle and the designs and so forth? So yeah, it just depends on what the contractor really wants to do. You know, what are their objectives? If they're happy being a one-man shop and they're word of mouth, that's great. But if they want to grow, they need to get their brand out. And, you know, as Dan says, he's got this book, Blended, Not Branded, right? Drive around in a white van, you don't stick out. You need the really bright colors and, you know, to really make a name for yourself. Own them.
For sure. Yeah, that's very interesting. It's yeah, because I mean, a brand, if no one's ever gotten a quote for it, you know, like 3, 4 grand, no problem. I mean, you know, to wrap a full, you know, van, if not more, right? I mean, who knows where it's at right now with the current state of inflation
Right,
that we're going through. So you did this rebrand. You've talked a lot about your vehicles. What else did a rebrand? What all went into that? A new website, new, are you guys doing flyers? Like, what else are you doing from a marketing standpoint? How are you getting to the point where you can confidently walk into that grocery store and you know multiple people are know who you are?
yeah, no, so it's a multi-step process, you know, and you can't just do everything all at once. I actually did get the pleasure of going down to Profit Rocket, you know, with Victor Rancor down in was it like September, October, in Austin. So I met a, you know, whole handful of different companies that were to really help us. Got to meet Dan in person, even though I was already signed up with the program. It was nice to, you know, get to actually meet somebody. And then we went ahead and we met with CI Web Group. They wound up actually redesigning our website, which was great, because as soon as I gave them the mock-up image, they ran with it, and what they threw back at me was unbelievable. I mean, it was exactly what I was looking for without having to give them, you know, too much detail. So now we're in the process of getting our flyers designed, so we can do the mailers. We have uniforms, you know, finding uniform companies to be able to print our stuff. That was, you know, a little bit of a challenge as well. We went with the sublimation polos, sublimation hoodies. You know, it's funny because we've got a couple of the samples, and we had a training about 2 weeks ago. So we walked in the training center at our supply house, and literally everybody was just like, wow, like their mouths dropped when we walked in. I heard, you know, like, look at this, these guys, they got jerseys, you know, and it's just like, all right, you know, that's what we want, you know, that's the, you know, recognition we want. So yeah, it's working, you know, we're getting our name out there.
Yeah, for sure. And are you guys, you know, Chicago's ginormous. What are you guys on? What part of Chicago are you in?
Yeah, so we're on like the south southwest suburbs.
Okay, gotcha. And are you trying to like win? You know, I've talked to like plumbers where they're like they are strategically like, I'm gonna win this neighborhood and then I'm gonna go to the next one. What's your plan with that? Are you trying to, you know, cover a lot, you know, be everything to everyone? Or are you trying to do neighborhood by neighborhood? What's that strategy look like?
Yeah, so we're going to do the farming approach, where we're basically going to attack our home base and then spread out from there. I mean, we have a couple of big players in the market, and unfortunately, Chicago is oversaturated with HVAC companies. So it's a tough fight ahead of us, but that doesn't mean that we can't win this one, right? So we're going to start with our home base, get everybody around us to know who we are, and then we start to slowly expand, right?
It seems like maybe it's different in Chicago, but you know, we're based out of Minneapolis, and there's, especially in the HVAC and the roofing industry, it seems like private equity is coming in and gulping up these companies. You know, it seems like anywhere in like the $5-10 million range, and they're grouping them together. And I've seen a company go from 30 million 2 years ago to doing 65 million this year. I mean, just insane growth. That's like unheard of. You know, and it's growth on all things, on all levels. You know, what are you, you know, what's, do you have a plan in place? Is that happening in Chicago? Do you guys, you know, what are you guys doing to kind of stand? I know you've done this rebranding. Like, is that happening in Chicago as well? The private equity coming in and gulping up companies?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I being in the industry, you always know who your competitors are, right? You know, whatever industry you're in, roofing, plumbing, you know who the guys that are good and the ones that aren't so, you know, good. The predominant players, you know, the middle level guys, you know, from a sizing perspective, they've been around for 30, 40, 50 years doing X amount of dollars. Yeah, they've already been gobbled up. You know, it's just, it's coming, you know, whether you like it or not, you know, equity in, you know, everybody's going to buy everybody out. Unfortunately, that's the goal, right? The only people that are going to really be around are the small mom and pop shops. And you have to make a name for yourself. That being said, you actually have the upper hand. They mean they may have the financial means of being able to get their name out there, but you have the quality, you know, the service that people are really looking for. Because once you start getting into these big companies, that's lost, right? You just become a number at that point.
Right. Yeah. I think that's, I was talking to a gentleman, he talked about, and he was really talking about like the quality and the same, because it was a completely different industry. Carpet, he was doing carpet cleaning, and he said the same thing. And I think what, you know, where you're going to go, like, even like, you know, if you get a technician working for these large companies that's been in business, they've been, they're fresh out of school or whatever, they're 2 to 3 months in, they don't know what they don't know yet, unfortunately. Yep. And where someone like you, who's been, you know, you've been there, done that, you've been doing all these different things, you come into a room and you, yeah, I'm sure you could quote a room in a couple of seconds of knowing exactly what size mini split is needed. And those are some of the things that, like you said, these large companies and the attention to detail and the customer service, you know, I'm sure there's, like you said, there's things that you can definitely be doing to win over. I think a hot topic, Paul, change subjects here a little bit, is like social media. Are you guys, what do you guys see? Are you doing anything with social media to grow your business? Are you doing any sort of guerrilla, like I call it like guerrilla marketing, in a way of like leaving door hangers, you know, things that like, they don't, it's not really costing you money. You know, it's a couple cents to print the door hanger course, or it's using your time to grow your business. What are some guerrilla marketing tactics that you guys are using in this farming tactic to grow your business?
Yeah. So, from a real simple perspective, it's just really getting on the social media, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I just learned about, I think Google's really trying to attack social media. So I saw one example, you know, somebody posted on Twitter, really high ranking individual. Within seconds, if not minutes, all of a sudden that tweet comes across his profile on Google. And it's just like, holy cow. I mean, so being relevant on social media is a big thing. And it's not necessarily like, oh, well, we need to put up this special or whatever. No, people want to see a face, right? They want to see content, you know, whether it's replacing an air filter or, you know, hey, this is how you change a flusher or something like that. You know, people want to see that type of information associated with your business. And one of the things that I heard, which we're really trying to push this year, is not only give more content, but the quality of the content. Before it was, hey, you know what? These are my little trade secrets. I don't want to give them out. But now I want to, you know, because the customers are going to see them and they're going to be like, you know what? This guy really knows what he's talking about. So let's use his company because, hey, we want to use him. And then if they want to do it themselves, well, then by all means, go ahead. You're just not the customer for us then.
Yeah, for sure. There's a really good book that talks about that. It's called They Ask, You Tell. And that's basically, again, what you're summarizing. You keep on giving us the cliff notes of these books, Paul. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. But, and you know what? I haven't read any of these books either. Yeah, so well, that's good. Hey,
then you're smarter than I am, because you figured it out without reading a book. But with that, you know, if you haven't read that book, but what Paul is doing is, you know, he's showing that he's a subject matter expert, which I think Paul is extremely important to do for these clients. Because yeah, I mean, they're at the end of the day, they're probably not going to do it themselves, you know? So by you answering frequently asked questions or things like that, like these little things that seem like trade secrets, at the end of the day, when someone needs something, they're probably going to call you. Like, especially for you, it seems like you've really honed in on mini splits. If you're the expert on a mini split in the area and people are seeing that on social media, like, well, if I want the best mini split installed, they know who they're going to call. So yeah, I think by doing that, I went through the same mindset in my business. Like, well, what if one of my competitors is looking at that? And it's like, what your competitors are looking at on your social media is way different than what the average consumer does. And I think most homeowners, like, unfortunate or fortunate, like we are getting more and more specialized. And it seems like current homeowners are a generation that grew up in the daycare. They didn't grow up in the home. They didn't grow up watching their parents like change a filter or take care of this or take care of that. And a lot of people they're just not aware. Plus, things in the homes are becoming cheaper, like they're made with cheaper parts, more plastic, right? We all know that they need more maintenance because it is a cheaper product. It's just not like somehow like a $3,000 refrigerator today lasts 4 years, but then you go into the neighbor's house and they have the refrigerator in the garage from like 50 years ago. You're like, well, how does this work out, right? So yeah, I think these trade secret, like just informing the client and or the general public that I am the subject matter expert, and like look how smart I am. It's like a humble brag on social media. But I love what you said too, Paul, about Google wanting to incorporate social media. I think that social media is quickly becoming a form of SEO. And if you're putting that content down there, because now what we've started doing is posting on our Google My Business, we're posting on our GMB profile 50 to 70 times a week, just telling Google, like, look at what we're doing. Here's where we're doing it. We treat Google like it's five. Like, look, here's what I'm doing, and here's the city that I'm doing it in, because it seems like Google's wanting to like put people in to make it so you basically are just servicing your backyard. Because like you can't be, there's, like you said, Chicago is currently saturated with HVAC companies. So how do you win multiple markets? And I think being very active and tagging photos, geotagging photos, all these things is, yeah, it's becoming a necessity for business owners. So it's good to see that you're doing that. Paul, where, like, when people are hearing about your company, you mentioned like this rebranding, things like that. Are you guys getting clients from, is it mostly Google? Is it social media? Is it word of mouth? Are you networking? Like, how are you getting your clients?
Yeah, so we are primarily word of mouth. I mean, that's always the big one. I mean, you've done work, you're going to get these clients that want your services again. I mean, for a mini split application, there are times where we go in there, we install it, and hey, we're done. I've actually had repeat clients on mini splits, and you're just like, well, why isn't the problem fixed? Well, yeah, it is, but then they move. And then they want a mini split in their other home. And so, we start to see that, once people get a taste of how the mini splits work, they just want more of it. But as far as all these little things that we do, we're really just striving just to start small, do the things that cost nothing, right? Doesn't cost much to update your GMB, right? Doesn't cost anything to do your Facebook and all your different social media things. And the more you do that, that's what's going to really help drive your SEO, right? We don't need to go out there and spend money on big old billboards, because they are expensive. And especially these one-man shops, that's a lot of capital that they can't really invest in at the moment, right? And they don't really drive traffic as much as people think. So if you start small, start with the simple things, having a good quality website, and then just having all that traffic that you garner going there. And the big one that we haven't even talked about is Google reviews. Make sure that the Google reviews are up. Everybody that you talk to, make sure that they're leaving you a Google review, because the more reviews you have, the higher ranking you're going to get. And yet again, that doesn't cost you any money.
So tell me more about that, Paul. How, like, what are you guys doing? When you say get, everyone you talk to, what does that look like? Are you sending them a QR code or, a link? What is that? How are you guys getting reviews?
Yeah, so a lot of the times, when we're in the house, that's a big thing that we're trying to do. We've learned that Google reviews are a big thing. So we're going to ask the customer right there on the spot, hey, do you mind leaving us a Google review? And we're going to send them a link directly to their phone. And it's simple, right? You go onto your Google site, you get the QR code or the web link, you save that into your phone, and then all of a sudden you can just mass shoot this out to the people. Chances are you already have their phone number anyways. Sending them a little text message, not a big deal. There are platforms out there that do help with this. So if that's not a forte of yours, they can send it automatically. So we haven't explored, I mean, we've looked at them, we haven't jumped on board yet. So we're going to try this approach and see how it works for us. Being there on site, seeing if the customer can really do it for us right then and there.
Yeah, I know for us, I was hesitant to use that at first in my business, asking for a review, and I was like, I don't if they're gonna leave one, they're gonna leave one. And we did start using us we use House Call Pro for our company. And so when we hit finish on the job, the client is I believe it, a text and an email goes out asking for a review. And that took us from getting one or two reviews a month to, I think today we get like 3 to 5 a week. It's almost daily that we're getting a Google review. And then to your point, hey, this is extremely important. And then are you leaving? And then I for some reason Google wants you to respond to all these, I believe too. We're actually looking into a software that would, I don't know exactly how it works. So this is a cliffhanger for the podcast, but I believe it actually, when you're on the job site, Paul, you could take a picture of that mini split that you installed, right? And then when you send them the link, it would actually automatically attach that photo to their Google review. So if they've
Interesting.
yeah, so like there's all these different things. Like you talk about these like guerrilla marketing, like all these little things. It's like, and then also like, is it really that important? But like I think I know Google reviews are for sure important, and I think getting them consistently is extremely important as well. And so then it's like these little things of like, even in your response, I've seen people respond with the intention of making that review more SEO relevant. So, if someone said like, five great experience with A Guys, thanks, and you respond with, hey Sherry, Cheryl, thank you for allowing us to install your mini split at your home. We really appreciate being able to install a new Mitsubishi mini split as an elite pro, and just make it, I left a 5-star review for my brother-in-law the other day. He started a chiropractic office, and I told him, I go, this is gonna be the most SEO rich review you've ever seen in my life. And I even said, if you're looking for the best chiropractor near me in Delano, Minnesota, contact, and he's like, dude, I can't believe you did. I'm like, hey, it works. So I am a big believer in making that. And Google is scanning everything. And today they're scanning your websites, I believe, multiple times per day. I think it used to be not as frequent. I think it's now scanning. And so when you're updating these things, updating your social media, updating your GMB, Google wants you to be using their platform. That's for sure. And Google's managing, to my understanding, 90%. They control 90% of the search traffic. So, yeah, Paul, you're hitting a lot of things right on the head. So I think
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
all.
we're not perfect by any means, and we still have a
Right.
long ways to go. But just research and just taking a step back for a little bit, learning what we need to do, coming up with a game plan, and just hit it in stride. And that's sort of the direction we're headed in.
Yeah. For sure. So, what is the plan for the future, Paul? You guys are growing. You just did this rebranding. Like, what is the next year? What does the next couple of years look like for you guys?
So anybody that wants to purchase us, we're open to selling, right? I know
For
they're all
sale.
listening, right? Yeah, for sale. No. We definitely want to build our company up, right? It's not necessarily, become the biggest, best HVAC company. No, we want to actually provide a quality or a lifestyle for our employees, right? I'm sort of over the whole 9 to 5 type of thing, 5 days a week, everybody's working, they're tired. I want to do something a little bit different, right? This is a big part of our life, right? So let's start by changing the way we do things. Nobody says that you have to follow this whole corporate mentality that's been instilled with us for a long time. So there's a great company. It's doing a phenomenal job. It's called Grasshopper. They're out in of New York. I mean, just the things that this business owner is doing is incredible. Like, for example, giving breakfast and lunches, as part of, being an employee. There's video games and a basketball court and all that stuff, like, that you can utilize during your downtime. This one's a little bit out there. I don't know how it's going to work, but unlimited vacation time. She just launched this, caveat to her company, and I'm like, wow, that's really thinking outside the box. So there's nothing to say that we can't really do that, right? We can't work all of our lives, right? We have to enjoy a little bit of it too. And if we can make our, work environment enjoyable, well, that's just going to lead to better productivity. Everybody's going to, the morale is going to be higher and so forth. So that's really what I'm trying to drive. Not necessarily get to the monetary figure, but I want overall enjoyment and a lifestyle change for these people. Hey man, you're helping me out. I'm going to help you out, or we're going to make this the best company we can. We want everybody to come to us.
For sure. Yeah, I think there's so many things you can dive into. For my company, I basically tell my employees, like, you can take, for our comp for our employees that are on salary, I'm like, I've never denied a vacation request. Like, and one thing that we've done is say, like, you can basically do whatever you want. I'm a huge fan of, like, take a 3-4 day weekend, go to, actually, my manager's in Chicago right now as we speak. So he's on a 4-day weekend in Chicago. But one thing that we've really tried hard to push is to take at least 1 week off. I want you to take a consecutive 5 days off, and hopefully it's a Monday through Friday, so you're getting actually 9 days off out of the office and unplug. Like, I'm not going to email you, I'm not going to text you, I'm not going to call you. Like, if I do, basically the world's on fire. So, like, be gone and take those 5 days off. And I think that's been really good. And also, it helps from a systems and processes standpoint. Like, if your operations manager leaves and you can't fill in the gap while they're gone for 5 days, you've got a problem on your hands. Because if that person puts in their notice or one day decides I'm not coming in to work anymore and you can't fill that in, you've got some major issues with your systems and processes. So I am a big component of everyone taking some time off. Like, even for myself personally, if I don't take, a long weekend here or there, I get burnt out. Like, you're frustrated. So So yeah, you're better when you take a vacation. I highly encourage it. And yeah, I mean so we're flirting with that unlimited vacation. We've never denied anyone. I don't know. It seems like most of my team takes roughly 2 to 2.5 weeks a year to off, and some of them don't use it, and I have to basically kick them out, like force them, get out of here because, hey, I want you to take a break. So yeah, there's so many interesting things. It's like, can you as a home service business, are we Google, can you have the ping pong table and the kefir and all this stuff? It's like, not yet, but I think just having that mindset for your culture, and I think your team starts to pick up on that, no matter how big you are. If you have one employee, 100 employees, whatever it is, they start to pick up on that. Like, I actually care about you more than just come in and install another mini split for us today. Like, it was actually part of we're a team and we want to get this done. So even just having that mindset, even if you're not there financially, I think that impacts your culture. So.
Absolutely. I mean, and plus employee retention, right? If money isn't the only thing that employees want, they can make a great salary, but if they're miserable, what's the point, right? Or if they're working constantly, well, then how am I going to use the money that I made, right? So unfortunately, not everybody makes it to retirement, right? We all lose in the end. But if we can make things as enjoyable as we can before we get to that point, now we have employee retention. Because yet again, with our industries, right? Blue collared. People don't want to do this. They all want the white collar, cushy jobs sitting behind the keyboard or whatever the case may be. So let's go ahead. Let's make a good offering, for these people. And then that low talent that is out there is going to be more inclined to come to your company.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's awesome, Paul. Super excited for you on all this stuff. It sounds like you guys are headed in the right direction. You're doing a lot of things right. So super happy for you, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. If people want to get in touch with you, Paul, how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so it's real simple. You can just send an email to paul@a-guy.com, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions and help you along. So whether it's about mini splits or whether it's about business stuff, I'll at least give you any knowledge that I've learned, right? Don't worry, I'm not a Tommy Mello by any means, but I know a couple of things, Or if Dan, you share your info, I'll just pass them off to you. So
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Paul, for being on the Home Service Pro Podcast.
no, it was my pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.